You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Election 2020.
The level at which the minimum wage is set has always been a contentious political issue, but it's even more prescient at this election in the midst of a pandemic-triggered recession. So here's a little overview of various parties' proposals around the issue. Labour are planning to continue progressively extending their provision of a living wage to public service contracted workers, bringing their wages up to $22.10 an hour. While in government, Labour have increased the minimum wage to $18.90 from $15.75 in 2017. They had previously promised to raise the minimum wage to $20 by 2021. Their website, however, now bears no mention of any such proposal. National have not released any policy proposals pertaining to the minimum wage. However, party leader Judith Collins has said a national government would delay increases to the minimum wage to help businesses cope with COVID-19, indicating that this is the party's position on the issue. The Māori Party have pledged to raise the minimum wage to $25 an hour immediately, and to introduce annual increases to keep the minimum wage in line with cost of living. Party co-leader Debbie Naroa-Packer says this will address Aotearoa's low-wage economy, an issue which particularly impacts Māori. ACT want to see any increases to the minimum wage put on hold for the next 3 years, claiming that doing so would help businesses navigate the economic crisis, as well as reducing the amount that small-medium businesses need to borrow from the government. Lastly, the Greens wish to see Labour's living wage proposal extended to all workers, not just those contracted by the government. They promise that if elected, they will push the government to instate sector-specific minimum employment standards negotiated between unions and employers, starting with essential workers. Across these proposals, I noticed a tension between business interests on the one hand and workers' access to fair pay on the other. Parties on opposing sides of the issue claim that their respective proposals are necessary for New Zealand's economic recovery from COVID-19. I spoke to Rod Oram, business journalist and political commentator, about parties' approaches to the minimum wage, the living wage, and whether low wages are necessary to sustain the economy. I started by asking him about Labour's policy and whether their changed messaging around wages indicates a pivot in their policy.
Living wage would take it beyond the current minimum wage, because living wage, depending on location, so there's an Auckland minimum wage and then the rest of the country, is substantially above minimum wage. So what I would take from that Labour announcement is that they are moving on from minimum wage, but they would still need to have a minimum wage across the economy, because it would take a while to apply living wage. That would be a more piecemeal approach.
And why do you think that National have kind of been reluctant to make any sort of clear policy statement on the minimum wage so far?
National and indeed ACT as right of centre or further right parties have never been at all sympathetic towards minimum wage or even less so towards the living wage, because it's sort of deeply embedded in their view of life and in their political philosophy that would be too much support for people, and people should be out there progressing, you know, on their merits and on their skills. Of course, there's a lot of merits to that argument, but of course it defies reality that's just not possible for a lot of people. And what the pandemic has shown us more than anything else is how important what we call essential workers are. But many of them are very poorly paid and have no option but to go to work physically. They can't work at a distance and they can't work from home. They need to be security guards. They need to be in warehouses loading trucks with food and then driving those trucks. So all of those workers have become far more important to us, and I hope people appreciate them more and therefore understand that if people are paid better than they are now, and so they can survive and slightly thrive a little better than they are, we will be rewarding them for their work, but they will also be able to have a slightly better quality of life and therefore be somewhat more resistant to ill health and pandemics and the like. And I think that no surprise that the right of center parties just don't sort of acknowledge those dynamics at all.
So what effect would a minimum wage rise have on businesses, especially in our current context of a recession?
Businesses can very easily be categorized into two camps, if you like. One camp would be that we can't afford to pay people more and we try to pay them as little as possible. And because our business doesn't allow us to, doesn't generate more money for us to pay them. But then the other camp, which I think is the far more realistic and admirable camp, says that if we pay people well and train them well, then they will contribute more to the business. They will help this business earn more money, and therefore they will be able to justify their the extra pay for them. To me, that's a very sharp differentiation between the whole sort of philosophy and practicality of managing a business. Then, of course, you get business associations that, because they have a wide membership and have a fair few vocal people in amongst their members who are pushing always for paying as little as possible, then you tend to get those business organizations, again, not really buying into that argument that if you train, engage, pay people well, give them the tools for the job, make sure you have a good business model that can then make good use of those people, then that's how you progress. And to me, that's a very sharp division that I see in business all the time.
And what effect would an increase to the minimum wage have for workers?
A minimum wage always helps because it saves a race to the bottom, pushing wage rates at the bottom end of the market lower than ever. So there is always a benefit from minimum wages. In New Zealand, we actually have one of the higher minimum wages in the world as a percentage of the average or the median wage. And that's good in itself. But it isn't really taking into account that whole picture of needing to equip, train, and employ people well in business models that in businesses that can then generate more resilient businesses and ones that are capable of paying higher wages.
Going back to the living wage is currently calculated to be $21.25 per hour, which even Labour's proposal before COVID-19 did not meet. What are the implications of having this whole chunk of New Zealand's workforce not earning a living wage?
It means that there's a higher proportion of people who are out there struggling, and that makes them more vulnerable to ill health and a much harder life, and then they become a greater need greater support in health and other services, and so they become more of a responsibility. I'm reluctant to use the word burden, a responsibility for society. So it's really about making sure that people have what they need to be able to have a reasonable and healthy standard of living.
I've seen some discussion that New Zealand may have a K-shaped recovery whereby, like, wealth kind of splits off and increases wealth inequality in that way. Do you think that this accurately reflects what is happening or what might happen?
Yes, it is happening. It's not as extreme as some other countries. I'm thinking here particularly of the US and the UK. Think of it as a K-shaped recession. So if you imagine a K, the top half of the K comes down and then goes up. but the bottom half of the K has come back up, but then falls away. And so there was help through various wage subsidies and other support during the most intense period of the pandemic, which was really good. And our economy is doing a good deal better than many other economies in terms of how much activity is coming back. So that's all good. But the very marked differences between those people who are their financial well-being hinges entirely on what they can earn in pay, and those tend to be lower income people, versus those people who have assets, and particularly houses, own their own homes, and or have investments in the stock market, which have seen the value of those assets in houses edge up a little higher, and in markets very strongly recover, and now just slightly above where they were the pandemic started. So that's the very, very real and stark fracture in society, if you like, because in socioeconomic terms, and because of the pandemic.
So which do you think matters more for New Zealand's economic recovery? Is it business stability with halting the minimum wage increases, or is it increasing the minimum wage and prompting like more consumer spending and stuff like that?
From a business point of view, what's impressed me most through the pandemic, through the lockdown and then recovery from it, is where I'm seeing businesses being incredibly creative and resilient and innovating very fast. Not all are. So that's the essential quality through this. And it's companies like that that are able to deal with the stresses and strains and the huge pressures that COVID causes and come out of it better businesses, and therefore able to at least maintain, if not increase, the pay of workers. That's, of course, a theme that applies across society in terms of how we all respond to the pandemic. But I think it's really, really important to, an absolute minimum, hold the line on minimum wages and all wages through this. And that's an absolute bottom line. We can't go backwards on this. And then, of course, the further we can move on from that, onwards and upwards from that, the better the economy will be in terms of being healthier and more resilient, but the stronger society will be, and therefore the better to keep coping with the pandemic. Not just this one, but almost certainly at least further waves of COVID-19, if not other pandemics yet to come, or indeed other issues like climate change and the rest we're all trying to deal with.
95 BFM News election coverage 2020, local economy. That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.